I've seen this movie before. That one ends in tears. I can tell you exactly what happened.
It's early days.
They don't get it, and they don't seem to care.
Under our plan, Australians can plan for their future.
A government that is bitterly divided.
We've got to raise the standards of journalism a little bit here.
Hi, I'm Fran Kelly from RN Breakfast.
And I'm Patricia Carvelis from RN Drive. And this is a special little edition of The Party Room where we give you the lowdown on Budget 2018. And what a budget. Scott Morrison basically has upended the taxation system, a pretty significant change to tax, which I think is the centrepiece of the budget and where we'll see the big contest. Small tax cuts and more relief over the next 7 years are basically at the heart of the federal budget with pretty significant changes, Fran, collapsing the second highest tax bracket, getting rid of it by the seventh year mark.
It is a major change. And this was the, as we say, like to say, the ooh-ah moment of this budget, because the seven-year package now, sure, as the opposition, the Greens and others would say, well, that's on the never-never. Who really thinks the economy is going to be delivering as it is now in 7 years? But hey, the seven-year plan, by the end of it, would have 94% of Australians paying no more than 32 cents in the dollar. So it scraps a middle tax bracket entirely, 37 cents in the dollar, which deals with a lot of the back bracket creep that happens, takes that out, flattens the system quite hugely, really. So 94% of it's paying no more than 32 cents in the dollar. That is a big change, and it delivers in that 7 years. But, you know, it does make our progressive tax system less progressive. It is a regressive move to some degree, and that's clear when you look at the figures. And this is a big problem, I think, politically for the government, up to Labor, of course, to argue it. But the big problem is that on the seventh year, when the big tax cut is delivered, those people earning $200,000 get a tax break of $7,225, whereas if you're only earning $40,000, you get a tax check of $455. So is that fair? Is that arguable?
Yeah. Well, that's what the contest is, isn't it?
That's what the contest is. People just bank what they got and go, yeah, thanks, or, hey, that's not fair.
Yeah, well, Labor's going to be keen to say that's not fair. So they're saying, yeah, we'll pass the first tranche, the first bit, which is, you know, essentially to lower income earners and middle income earners. So do that straight away. But the government is saying, and in fact, Malcolm Turnbull made pretty clear in his interview with you, that they don't want to split it off. So is it a trap or a wedge for Labor? Because they're saying we won't compartmentalise. We're not going to just give you that because it's, as the Prime Minister kept saying, it's a plan. It's a seven-year plan. It's a holistic tax reform.
Right.
It's not just piecemeal. You just do this bit and we're going to help you out there.
Right. So is it a trap, as you say, or is it a game of chicken? Like the government, who's got who over a barrel here is what we want to know. So Labor says, okay, we'll pass the first part today. Bring it in today. We'll pass that, but we won't do the last bit. So split it up. The government says no way. It's not being split up. It's all or nothing. That's what the Prime Minister said. All or nothing. Now, does the government really want to give away all of this and go to the election with nothing to offer people in terms of tax relief? Because, you know, they wouldn't split it. Do they want to seem to be doing that and calling Labor's bluff? Or actually, would they prefer that? Because then they can blame Labor for denying you your tax cut, what would be significantly down the track, a significant tax cut. As I'm not quite clear on what the government would prefer, but at this stage, they ain't for splitting.
They ain't for splitting. And you're right, it's a game of chicken, but it's also who's going to win. We don't know. And we're doing this kind of quick podcast for you. We actually don't know who will be the one who is most successful at prosecuting the argument, because Labor has a pretty potent argument, don't they?
Well, we don't know the contest yet because we haven't seen Labor's tax cut offering. We will get that when Bill Shorten gives his budget reply tomorrow. We should get that. I mean, Chris Bowen has said we'll match the first tranche. So he said that last night. So they'll do that. But what will they offer? Because they can't go offering nothing, can they, except to put up taxes?
No, they've certainly plan to offer something significant is what I'm hearing for people in that middle income bracket. What's interesting, though, is, you know, whether Chris Bowen and Bill Shorten will be successful in saying the government's being mean not to deliver the first tranche and to play these games. Now, they could be quite successful in making that argument, but ultimately, I suppose, it's who's the better salesperson. What we've got here is the big budget sell now. This week is quite crucial for the government. They'll be out trying to sell this budget, which does look pretty much like a political document. You've got to sort of say all budgets are political documents. I want to make that clear. Like they all are
It's not the Santa Claus budget that I think we were promised, though. I don't see this as a Santa Claus budget. I mean, sure, there is a big giveaway, $140 billion over 10 years in tax relief, but there's not a lot of other giveaways. I mean, they've described it largely as a victimless budget, and unless you're sort of people earning under $18,000, that's probably true. It is victimless. But there's not a lot of winners beyond general tax taxpayers, is there?
Look, if you look at it, if you look at the infrastructure spend, that's quite significant. It's just that it was leaked out before the budget. So
there's got a lot of it last year, last year's budget. And when is it going to start? When are these projects, when are this, you know, the sod being turned?
That's right. But there is something there.
And that's good. I think, you know, clearly we have a population pressure. We're way behind. We've got an infrastructure deficit. It's good to, this is good debt, as the Treasurer would say, but it's off budget. It's not part of this budget. So it's not actually included in the figures. All this major infrastructure money is what they call off budget. So that's, yes, it's good, but it's not really part of these numbers.
Fran, what the government has very successfully done, though, is taken all of the focus away from the corporate tax cuts. Now, Labor went into this process saying this is this budget stinks because that corporate tax cut will still be in there. It is still in there, and yet we're not talking about it. The government has sort of turned everyone's attention to punters, to people, to taxpayers, and a lot of taxpayers, whether you think it's fair or not, do get an effective cut from this. So they have kind of got it onto their political territory, haven't they?
Well, I guess their headline pitch to the crossbench and to the population, let's face it, the polls suggest most Australians don't like the idea of the corporate tax cut, but they're saying, okay, we're fair. We're giving you, the taxpayer, double the amount we're giving big business. Your tax cuts are going to be worth $140 billion over 10 years. The corporate tax cut, $65 billion. Over 10 years. Now, the government thinks is calling that tax reform. It's the dividend of growth, they're saying, and it's the driver of growth in the company tax cut. So that's how they're wrapping it up, offering it to the crossbench senators, those who've been reluctant to say, where's the budget repair, where's the tax reform in this? Tim Storer is one independent who has said that he, you know, wanted to see overall broader tax reform. He is not regarding this as tax reform, and he is still not of a mind to support the company tax cut. So the government's only hope really is those two Centre Alliance, the former Nick Xenophon team senators. Let's see how they buy it.
Now, you said it's a victimless budget, and 100% you can't describe this as a slash and burn budget. You know, you remember 2014, that famous
This is miles away from that.
Yeah, it's like a different country. This is a different world.
Well, that was the budget after an election. This is the budget before an election.
Absolutely. And of course, there's all that speculation that we might see an election earlier because this is so election flavoured. I'm not convinced. The Prime Minister at least told you, Fran, this morning that it's still, you know,
plan next year, Fran.
So there you go, Fran. Book your holidays based around that. But there are losers. There are always losers in every budget. And actually, the ABC is one of the big losers of this budget. Some significant cuts to the ABC.
Yeah, this is a major story, I think, because there are losers where the government is, you know, going after the black market economy. They're going to find $5 billion there. You'd have to think, why have they found that before? They're going to go after, you know, multinationals again, which is good. But actual cuts, there's not a lot of cuts to spending programs. I think I'm right in saying it's only $404 million over 10 years. But one of the big cuts is to the ABC because we've got a funding, an indexation freeze that's going to be essentially a cut of $80 million to our budget. Plus, there's another special news program that is something like $40 million that's being cut. So that's a big amount of money given that there's not a lot of cutting going on in this budget.
Yeah, so we're going to hear, I think there's going to be a special briefing from Michelle Guthrie, the managing director of the ABC. It'll be really interesting to see what she says and how this plays out.
We've already had an indexation freeze that's already meant a whole lot of newsroom journalists have gone over the last 3 years. There's been significant cuts in our news bureau. What does the government think the ABC can do now? Do they want us to scrap our online presence? I mean, I'm sure news.com would like that. Is that what the government's really saying, that the national broadcaster shouldn't have an online news service? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, we'll see exactly what it means and what the implications will be in terms of job losses and all of that. There's other cuts too. Migrants is an interesting one. The waiting period for newly arrived migrants to access certain welfare benefits will be increased to 4 years from July the 1st. That saves $203 million over 5 years as well. And that's very significant, I think. So, you know, the crackdown, obviously, on tobacco, another element. Yeah, But either way, I don't know, are people going to be at the barricades fighting over these
things? Well, the unemployed will be. The unemployed will be because there is no jump in Newstart. And there had been a campaign brewing ahead of this. The Business Council, economists like Chris Richardson, the welfare sector. Oh, you just told me John Howard's even come out and
said, I did.
Newstart.
Newstart's got to rise.
Newstart's got to rise. But the Prime Minister says, no, it's a safety net. It's not a job. It's not a salary. We're about creating jobs. That's what will help people out. But, you know, that doesn't, we're still going to have 5% unemployment. There's still going to be a lot of people without jobs.
And the problem with the Newstart payment being so low is that it acts, people are saying, as a disincentive to get a job. Because if you think about what you need to actually be able to look presentable enough to get a job. Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot, bus pass.
Who wants to, I mean, you think about channel an employer. You're employing somebody. If somebody looks to you like they're not presenting, like they're ready for work for all sorts of reasons, you know, certain prejudices people carry around, then these people are not going to be employed.
I think the Greens are going to launch a big campaign on Newstart.
I think there's going to be a lot of pressure. And as we know, AI Group, we've got, you know, BCA. There's a chorus of people, as you say, who are now on the side of let's look at this welfare payment. Even Labor, though, saying we're going to take a look at it, we're going to review it. Well,
yeah, I wonder if Bill Shorten will toughen that tomorrow night.
I wonder too, because I think, I don't know how that stacks up, the idea of a review again. It sort of seems like it's going on. Now, we want to let you know that the Party Room is going to have a longer edition tomorrow where we will have a guest and it'll be like regular like we do every week. And we will discuss there something which is huge and so much is going to happen today, which we can't predict. But Katie Gallagher, the Labor senator, has been ruled ineligible.
Yeah, the High Court has just ruled that she's in breach of Section 44 of the Constitution. She is out. And this has big ramifications for at least four other sitting members, MPs in the Parliament, three of them Labor MPs. So this will be a political issue now and a constitutional issue. We could be in for a string of by-elections. What does that do for pressure around an early election?
It's going to be huge. So listen to Fran's show, my show. We're going
to
talk about it and there's going to be a lot of discussion. But of course, the Party Room tomorrow is where you can hear much more about that. And we'll know much more in terms of, you know, by-elections and plans and how Labor responds because this affects them.
The pressure's on Labor.
The pressure is on Bill Shorten now. Hey, Fran, it's been fun to hang out with you and go through the budget. I will hang out with you again tomorrow. See you later.
Don't you love budgets?
I do, actually.
See you, PK.